Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome everybody to Juwanza for Life. My name is Juwanza. As you can tell by that music, you know what time it is. I am so very happy that you've taken time out of your busy day to tune in. I have got a special, special show lined up for you. It is truly an honor every time I get the opportunity to speak with people that have left such an indelible mark on music, and in doing so have touched our lives, and I'm just excited. I'm humbled, you know, I'm starstruck, actually, because today we get the honor of speaking with the former queens of chic. They're now known as Next Step, and if you just were born this morning or you just flew in from Mars and you don't know who I'm talking about, let me share a little bit of information with you about the former queens of chic. Again, they now go by the name of Next Step. That's Alpha Anderson, Lucy Martin, and Norma Jean Wright. And again, they're currently known as Next Step. And they recently teamed up with Ibiza producers, the Arista Freaks, and Kathy Sledge on a new single entitled Everybody Get On Up. The soon-to-be-released track highlights the signature sound they brought to chic as the original vocalist of the group. Alongside producers Nile Rodgers and Bernard Edwards and drummer Tony Thompson, these legendary ladies delivered style, sophistication, and soul and made chic synonymous with infectious hooks and timeless grooves. I know that's right. They collected a wall of gold and platinum albums, fueling the charts with hits that dominated clubs and airwaves around the globe. And, I mean, I am just so very, very excited. We're going to talk about what they've been doing and what they're going to do. And I just want to move out of the way so that I can get to my special guest of the hour. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would, stand on your feet. If you're already standing, then bow, because the former queens of chic are here. They're Next Step. Welcome to Juwanza for Life. It's great to have you. Thank you for being my guest today.
Hi, Juwanza.
Glad to be here with you.
Absolutely.
With that intro, we don't know. Can we live up to all of that? We are
already
certainly humbled.
I am definitely humbled. Again, I am so excited to have the opportunity to talk to people who I've listened to for years, and not just in passing. I mean, I've sat back, and I remember this was back before CDs, back when, you know, component sets were out, and I would play Chic songs, especially the soul songs, over and over and over again. I mean, they just actually touched my soul. So your voices rang in my ears, and I'm sure the ears of the listeners, for many, many, you know, just many years, because, again, your music was timeless. It was beautiful. You all had a sound. You had a style that was so unique. And I'm always interested when I talk to people that I've admired and listened to, because we have the public, we get the album covers, the CD jackets, but behind the scenes, you know, there's a story. Behind the beautiful pictures, there's a story. So if we could, let's go back to the beginning, if we can. And again, everybody, my special guests are Alpha Anderson, Lucy Martin, and Norma Jean Wright. Let's go back to the beginning, because, again, your music, your sound, your voices blend so beautifully together. And I'm always interested, where did it all begin? So can we start there, and if each of you would just share how it all began for you and when it dawned on you that you could sing and that you wanted to make a career out of it?
And anyone you want to start us off?
Yeah,
okay.
Please.
I knew that I wanted to sing probably as early as 7 or 8 years old.
Who is this speaking?
Norma Jean. I identified the fact that I wanted to sing, as I said before, probably about 7 or 8 years old. I had a cousin, an older cousin, a male cousin, who was a phenomenal singer, and I started out trying to emulate him, and he would sing a lot of Sam Cooke music, and it started there. And then my sister and I, we started singing in church, and we got a lot of encouragement from the church members, from my family, and it just really caused me to say, hey, I think I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I met, regarding Chic, I met them. I grew up in the Midwest, and I moved to New York to pursue a career in music. And I met Niall through a mutual friend that we had by the name of Lene Davis. Lene had been working with Niall and Bernard doing local gigs with them. She's an actress, singer, and she had been singing with them, doing local New York gigs. And they had informed her that, you know, they were putting together this group, and they were working on original material, and they were looking for a lead female voice to sing on some of the original music that they were doing. So she said, you should audition. So she introduced me to Niall, and we set up an audition, and I went and I auditioned. At that time, it was Niall, Tony, and Bernard, and I heard them play together.
Mm-hmm.
And I was blown away by the chemistry between the rhythm section.
Mm-hmm.
And they played me some of the music that they had written. And I auditioned, and they hired me. And we started working on some of the original material, which was the first song that I started working on was Everybody Dance.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how it started for me.
Mm-hmm.
I met Alpha later through Luther Vandross, because Alpha, Luther, David Lasley, Diva Gray, and Robin Clark, right,
yes.
Alpha?
Yes, yes.
They all sang on Dance, Dance, Dance. Niall and Bernard hired all of them to sing on Dance, Dance, Dance. They added my voice to that song later. But that's how I met Alpha. And with Lucy and I met when I first moved to New York. Lucy was singing in a group called ESP. And when I first moved to New York, I auditioned for ESP, and I was hired as they wanted two female leads. So Lucy already had, you know, the job. They hired me as the second vocalist. And she and I met in that group, and we just continued to work together in other kinds of projects. So when Niall and Bernard, after Chic basically released Dance, 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 we got a deal on Atlantic, they then said, hey, we want to bring in another female to front the group, so it would be two. So I asked Lucy to come and audition. She wasn't so happy about that because she didn't like disco music, but she did come for the audition, and she got the gig. So that's how it started. And Alpha, you can follow up.
Okay, I'll follow up. I was introduced to Niall and Bernard through Luther Vandross, who was a very good friend of mine, and he was a renowned session singer even back then. And I would do sessions with him from time to time, and he called me one day and says, I have this session I want you to do. And I said, okay, cool. And I said, who is it? He says, well, it's a friend of mine named Niall Rogers who has this new group, and they're disco. And I said, disco, Luther, have you lost it? We're R&B. We're not disco singers. He says, oh, come on in. It'll be a lot of fun. So I went, and I heard the tracks on the first CD, the first album, Let Me Keep It Real. And I said, oh, wow, this is really wonderful. And I loved it right away. I had sung before, but this was really a big break for me, and it has served me well. It was a blessing. And it took a while for my family to really get it, because even though I sang in the church and I sang in the college choir back home, the first time my sister came to one of the Chic concerts, she came backstairs and she says, I just have one question for you. And I said, what? What is it? She says, when did you learn how to sing? Now, that was really funny, because I thought I always knew how to sing. But you know, nobody can put you in your place like your family. So she came backstage and said that. And then after we had been touring for a while, and because Luther and I went out to provide backing vocals for Norman and Lucy. Lucy Martin was one of the original singers with Norma Jean. So we just went to provide background music and background vocals, rather. And I was telling my mother, I'm so excited. I'm with this group. They're doing really well. They got number one records. And my mother says, you know, Southern lady, no, you don't. I said, yes, yeah. No, they don't. No, they don't. I said, Ma, it's a great group, and we have hit records. She says, well, it's not in Jet. You know, because Jet was a magazine that the black community relied on for news. So since it wasn't in Jet, it was nowhere in her world. So, you know, I always share that, you know, because I thought those were just two comments from within my own family that I crack up about them every time I think about them. So that's basically how I ended there, from Luther Vandross, who was a mentor and a really, really good friend.
Wow.
Lucy, what about you? I'm sorry, Jawanza.
I guess you finally made Jet, huh?
I guess, yes, we did. And we actually got the cover of Jet, too, at some point. So, like, all of Augusta, Georgia knew at that point that the homegirl was doing good, because she had the cover of Jet. Mind you, that the countdown in Jet's magazine had to be at least 6 weeks behind the rest of the world.
Okay.
Because it wasn't Billboard, it wasn't, you know, any of the trade magazines. So, you know, it's almost like the songs had been on the charts for so long before Jet finally got them. But I love, you know, I love that, you know, that feeling of community and camaraderie around the community and being embraced by your own. Mm-hmm. It's the beautiful thing.
Okay,
yes,
Luke.
Absolutely. Well, my background's a little bit different, because I didn't grow up in the church singing, unless, you know, the Catholic Church is a different kind of song.
Mm-hmm.
And I grew up loving to perform. I didn't intentionally seek to become a singer, but a performer. And for me, Norm and I worked together. We did background together. We were with, we used to call him the Black James Brown up in Canada.
Right.
And, yeah, you remember him?
Yes.
George, I think his name was. And, you know, we were doing that around, and we were working with the band ESP as well. I stayed in Canada. You know, I love performing. I thought I was going to be a great dancer until I realized that I just wasn't built for it physically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I took, you know, modern classes, jazz classes, but all for the Broadway stage. I started out doing a lot of musical theater, doing a lot of background. I didn't really care to be a lead person as long as I got to perform. For me, it was just the stage. So when Norma called me, because she went back to New York, and she called me and asked me to come in. She actually didn't tell me to audition. She asked me to come and hear the record,
mm-hmm.
Dance, Dance, Dance. And I was like, okay, it was raining. I really didn't feel like it. So she promised me food. So I said, okay. So I went over to her house, and it was raining, and I was a mess. And she was like, oh, try these pants on, you know, really tight brown pants. And she's like, I'm like, why are we getting all fixed up just to go get something to eat? So this is crazy. So anyway, she said, I just need to stop and pick up a tape. So she did, and I met Nolan, Bernard, and Tony at Robert Drake's house, went upstairs, and mind you, I had not heard the record.
Mm-hmm.
And it was doing very well. And so I asked him, I said, oh, well, what does the record sound like? Do you have it? And Nile took out his guitar and started playing it. So we just started, they started singing, and you know, Norma, in her way, it's like, come on, join in. I was like, all right, you know, what the heck, anything to eat. So I started singing with the guys, and then they said, oh, okay, great. And they said, excuse us for a minute. And they went in the back and talked. And then they came back out, and they said, okay, we decided you're in. I said, I'm in what? They said, you're in the band. I said, what are you talking about? And Norma's just giggling. She's back there giggling behind me like, you know, the little devil on the shoulder. And he says, yeah, we like you. We want you to join the group. And, you know, I said, oh, well, okay, fine, whatever. Because that's how I am, whatever. No problem. So that's how that started. And we all got together. I met Alpha. I met Luther. We went and did a lot of TV shows out in L.A. That was my first time in the front part of the plane. And just being treated like a queen, which was a fabulous experience for me. And when Norma went to pursue her her solo career, then Alpha joined me. And because we had already worked all, you know, all did these shows together, it was familiar. So it was great. It was an easy transition. And,
yeah,
you know, like they say, the rest is history.
But Jawanza, Lucy left out a key point, and apparently she forgot. I did ask her if she would come and audition for the group, but what I said was it's disco music, and she was like, "I don't like disco music." No. So that's why I had to
trick me
in a roundabout way, trick her, because I felt once she heard the music. And she met the guys, and you know, that she would be able to see that it wasn't her perception of what disco, meaning 126 beats per minute and that sort of
right.
thing. So that's why I had to trick her.
I'll just add that Tony was from my neighborhood. So that was another familiar part. When I heard the music and heard how tight these guys were, and they were funny as all get out.
Mm-hmm.
I love their personality. You know, it was a new project. You know, when you're young, you don't think about anything. You just jump right in and say, okay, well, then let's do this. And they were just funny guys. They were great. Well, they are. Snarl still is. But, you know, all together, they were just really great, fun guys and talented.
You know,
so it wasn't hard. And the music was good.
Hearing this history is awesome to me. I'm loving every second of this, you know, because as you know, we look back and we're thinking about, you know, this had to be, I assume this was probably around, I mean, you all burst on the scene, if I'm not mistaken, around 77. So I assume this was around, you'd gotten together before then, so I assume this was probably around 76. Is that correct? Somewhere
well,
around
actually,
there?
Yeah, actually, I moved to New York in, what, like June, July of 76. And I think we started, I probably was in New York for like maybe 5 months or so. So 77, the beginning of 77, I think it's when we actually started recording. But the record came out, the first single came out in 77, I believe.
Yeah, it did. You're right.
It happened pretty fast.
So you all must have been like, would it be safe to say the missing link for Niall Bernard and Tony, because from my understanding, they had been together for a while. They were playing dates in clubs, and you know, and it's when you all came, Norma, you first, Norma Jean first, and then you know, subsequently the others, that everything just clicked and everything just took off. Could you have even imagined in your wildest dreams that this phenomenon that became Chic would have taken off as fast as it did? I mean, because there are people who have been laboring for years and years and years and years and years. I mean, sometimes you have groups that have, you know, recorded a lot of songs before they get their first hit. But, I mean, as the group Chic, it seems like your first song was a smash, correct?
It definitely knocked down some doors. It was, I think destiny was definitely a part of it for all of us.
Yeah, time and timing is so important. And I think it was just time, you know, whatever needed to come together, whatever needed to come together in that time-space continuum came together at that time and brought us together to create this music.
And what's interesting,
I think it was
go ahead, hon.
Well, I was just saying, I think also just the blend of so many different backgrounds, you know, from jazz to musical theater to blues to rock to gospel, I think all of that and the infectious just happiness of youth, I think all of that just brought together that particular sound.
Yeah.
Came out through, you know, through our records.
Yeah.
You know,
I'm sorry, babe.
Go ahead, honey. Go ahead,
babe. We do this all the time. We've been together so long that we complete each other's sentences.
You know. Go ahead, girl.
But just to add to that, we were categorized, Chic was categorized as a disco dance band, but if you listen to the music, it's hardly disco. And that's one of the things that drew me to it. When I went and heard it, I'm saying, this is wonderful. I mean, you hear so many influences. I mean, how can you call the Chic strings and all that beautiful string arrangements that Niall did and those people played real disco? That's really symphonic music. If you listen to the solos, the instrumentals, you know, they definitely were not disco. Sao Paulo was absolutely brilliant.
And those slow songs were definitely R&B. I mean, those slow songs.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. You know, they still...
Without a doubt.
You know, they still playing the slow songs on... whatever the Quiet Storm formats are. I mean, it's nothing mm-hmm. to tune in and hear Falling in Love with You, which was one
That's
of my
right.
favorites. You know, At Last I'm Free, and, you know, mm-hmm. the others, you know, When You Hear This Song, Will You Cry, and, you know,
yeah.
Warm Hey, I mean, you know, these songs were like just, and still are, heard on,
yeah.
you know, the formats across the country. So how did, when it came to, by the way, let me ask this question too, because I was just curious. Norma Jean, was that you that sung Falling in Love with You?
Yes, and that is, it's interesting that you would mention that song, because that is the song that I heard, and I was like, oh my God, this is such a beautiful song. And I felt that they were just so, they were extraordinary writers to me, because it was Everybody Dance, and then Dance, 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 and then Falling in Love with You. I just felt like, oh my God, this is wonderful. And like you said, it's R&B. And, mm-hmm. and Bernard, whose background was like funk, R&B, you know, James Brown. He was in Nile, he had tapped into rock and classical, Tony jazz, rock, R&B. And I came from, you know, like gospel, R&B, even some country, because I grew up in the Midwest and was in the South every summer. So it was like a melting pot. Luther Vandross contributed, Alpha, Lucy, mm-hmm. all of those elements, the other musicians. It was a melting pot of sort, and I just felt it was amazing music. But Falling in Love with You, I fell in love with that song. And then Luther's voice was added, and I was just head over heels over that song.
Wow. I'm sure other people fell in love listening to that song, Norma.
Mm-hmm. Probably
yes.
some babies walking
oh,
around grown.
Right. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. But so many of their ballads. Well, Warm mm. Summer's Night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that.
Mm.
On and
See,
on.
You're gonna have people going back and listening to all the Chic songs. And listen, everybody, just want you to know, as much as you love the old Chic, well, guess what? Next Step has got a new song, and it's called Everybody Get On Up. We're gonna tell you about that. And by the way, I want you to stick in and don't go away, because at the end of the show, we're gonna play the whole song for you, and you're gonna love it. I guarantee you, it's gonna bring back memories, and we're gonna get into talking about what Next Step is doing. What's the next step for Next Step? But if we could, let me ask a question, and that is concerning how music changed in the 80s. I mean, because when you all burst on the scene, I mean, it was like you came out of nowhere. You know, it appeared that you came out of nowhere, and all of a sudden, everybody was on the dance floors again. I mean, you all had such an appeal. You could make people dance. I mean, when you hear the song, Will You Cry? I mean, you can make people cry. You know, you can make people fall in love. I mean, and then comes rap at the end of the set. Enter in rap. And then things started to change. I mean, people weren't really kind of sure where rap was going to go, if it was going to stick around. And, you know, after the Sugar Hill Gang, then you had the Curtis Blows, and you started getting more and more rap groups.
Right.
And you started seeing graffiti and all of this stuff, and music changed. What effect do you think that the change in music had on the group?
Well, I think this is Alpha speaking. I guess we should identify ourselves as we speak. Rapper's Delight, please excuse me. Rapper's Delight was pivotal in that they ripped off the track to Good Times and did a rap to it. So that was a real big change in the direction of music, but also a change in the way music was produced. Because the show entertainment business and record companies were very, very expensive. And the culture that spawned rap was It was the music of the people. Mm-hmm. So people could actually put down some riffs or some lines, or they could sample something. You know, technology had a lot to do with changing that. And they could begin to churn out things in their basements. They didn't need to get a record deal. They didn't have to go to the majors. And then they could actually express the things that people were talking about. I mean, please don't push me. I'm close to the edge. All of those songs were like really coming out of the, of that was the voice of the young people of that day. Our songs were the voices of the people before, and we were really talking about dancing and having a good time. And I think that our songs did a lot to sort of bring about cultural empathy, because our music broke down barriers of race and gender and all those isms that were so much a part of this culture. And then rap came in and became another phenomenon and just really spoke to the African experience here in America.
Yes, well, this is Lucy, and I have to say, even with the changes, because music has to evolve, and so when the whole rap thing, I'm from Queens, I'm a Queens girl,
okay.
And a lot of these artists came out of my neighborhood,
okay.
You know, St. Albans, Flushing, mm-hmm. Springfield Gardens, Laurelton. I knew a lot of I knew Russell Simmons when he put out Run DMC, his brother. You know, we were all neighborhood kids.
Okay.
So for me, it was like, well, all right, go, you know, do your thing. Because I just love the creativity. Even with Sugar Hill Gang, you know, despite the legalities, I love the creativity of taking mm-hmm. something and evolving it. So that
right.
was good. You know, there's pros and cons. To that whole situation where music turned around, especially from an artist standpoint, you know, because we did lose a lot of opportunity to gain, you know, substantial deals and you know, that kind of automatically given distribution and things like that. But at the same time, I think that we opened up doors where there was possibility. Anyone could be, you could do this. Because when I grew up, I loved old movies. I loved the glamour. Chic spoke to me in that concept because I spent my life watching those, the long furs, the glamorous girls, but I never, as a little black girl, thought that that was something that I would be able to achieve. With the music that comes out, every time it comes out, there's an additional step which tells that generation, yeah, this is a possibility. You can do this. Don't be swayed by what people say. Go for what you know, go for what you feel, and you can achieve it with hard work. So that was exciting for me with the rap thing. I have to say, personally, the direction that it's taken, I'm not that crazy about, although I do love the rhythms and the beats and, you know, it speaks to that Latina jungle side of me. but I'm losing a lot of the content with a lot of today's music. So, you know, that would be my only complaint, is that, you know, we've lost a lot of the content that was substantial. But other than that, you know, if you throw on a Beyonce or Rihanna record, or, you know, even a, you know, one of the rap records, I will be the first one on the dance floor.
I hear you. And this is Norma Jean. I just wanted to comment on, I think that with Chic, the other thing that happened, not just that music changed, I think that there were so many, Chic's sound became so prominent. And there were a lot of imitators who kind of, you know, figured out, you know, on the vocal end, and they would use certain chords that sounded like Chic. And it became almost oversaturated, so to speak.
And I feel that if Niall and Bernard had trusted themselves not to, because those guys were so incredibly talented, if they could have just expanded, they could. But I think they also became, they were safe. After a while, it was a safety net that they stayed in that zone. And by the time they decided to try some other things, then disco, you know, was, disco sucks.
Right.
By the fact that she came in under the umbrella of disco, even though the group was way beyond disco. So that kind of just put, you know, like the cloud over.
Then, because you just said something that made me think about something, and that is that oftentimes when you take a group and they go through their run, they have their run, and then the trends of music starts to change, and, you know, or listen, for example, you would just use rap. Rap comes in, and then, you know, they trying to appeal and stay relevant, you know, but the songs that were the million sellers, you know, the songs that got all of the airplay and the radio play, the songs that 30, 40 years later, people still love. And when groups that go on tour, in many cases, they're playing a lot of the old hits that people remember and still want to hear, you know. So my question has always been, when it came to music and when groups start to change because the trend has changed, you know, like, for example, I'll give you an example. Like when Prince came out, for example, in like the mid-80s or when he really got hot, everybody, you started having groups like Ready for the World and groups that, you know, had this Prince sound, you know what I mean? It was forever changing, you know?
Yeah.
So he might create a sound and then change, and he's not even doing the sound that he created anymore. But then you might have other groups that might have been known for, say, just for the sake of example, disco. And they say, okay, well, music is changing. Let me, in order to stay relevant, let me move with the flow. But then the fans that went and bought all of the songs, the million sellers, they're still waiting for another song in the same vein as the ones that they're used to. You know what I'm saying? So
right.
I don't know if the thinking is, well, let's continue to just be us. Let's do what got us here. So my question is, why do you think groups, or is the, did I answer my own question, trying to stay relevant, they move away from what they know? And sometimes in that process, it can sound a little corny. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know, so, well, I didn't see that with Chic, though. Everybody remembers Chic,
right.
And you all are the grooves, I mean, the voices. You didn't try, as far as I know, to get into something that you weren't comfortable with. And, I mean, as a result, today, people still love Chic songs and they remember that. But do you think that part of the reason is just people trying to stay relevant that and keep up with the new sounds that they, you know, trying to appeal to a younger generation? And do you think that's even wise, or do you think a group should just stay with what got you here?
I think that you should, as a creative being, you should never fear creating, whether, because if you're just focused on what got you there, and there's nothing else to draw from, then that's another story. But if you have other things to contribute, go for it. That's what creativity is about, and because otherwise it becomes stagnant to me. If your focus really is about just doing, you know, what got you there.
Yeah, I see both sides of it, but I definitely understand what you're saying, because, you know, I often say that we don't really write songs, that the universe, that the songs come to us through a divine source.
Okay.
And we almost channel the songs, and when certain energies are around, that's what the songs are going to reflect.
Okay.
So it's a constant evolving of being, of spirit, you know, of understanding of the culture of the country. We reflect the times. Artists, I was a high school principal, and when I used to teach English at one time, I used to tell my students that you can tell what's going on in a society by reading the expository texts. You know, you can read the histories, the documentaries. But if you want to know the spirit of what's going on in any country, in any time, in any point in history, look to the arts. The singers, the dancers, the poets, the actors. You're going to get something different because something different comes through an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And it's divine.
Okay.
So
I agree with that. I agree with that, Alpha.
Yeah. So some people have, let me tell you a person who managed to change, remain relevant, and had hits, and that was Herbie Hancock.
Okay.
You guys may not remember, you know, Jawanza, you may not be old enough to remember him, but he was straight up jazz. And when music began to change, he began to change, but he still was able to retain his sound. The sound that made him who he was. Brilliant.
I go back as far as Chameleon with her.
That's when the change mm-hmm. happened. That mm-hmm. And that's a good place to go. That's when the change happened for him. If you get an opportunity, mm-hmm. check out his earlier stuff. Mm-hmm. Chameleon represents him reinventing himself in a very powerful way that allowed him to stay front and center in the music scene for a long time. So it just depends.
Yeah. I was going to say whatever it is, I just believe that you can't be dictated by the fear to Norma Jean.
Jean, okay, I'm sorry.
You have to allow creativity to flow. And whatever that becomes, and I understand that it can be difficult, especially if you know, for some people you become commercially successful. But if your creativity is dictated by that,
mm-hmm.
at some point it may not be true to who you are.
This is Lucy, and I just wanted to expound, even because I totally agree with what Norma's saying, but even in answer to your question as well, I think there are a lot of factors that play into the whole relevancy issue. You know, a lot of times, especially back then, if you were a number one group, you had number one hits back to back to back. You may want to change, but contractually, your company, they want to make money, so they will fear the change. You know, they will want to get that, let me have that old sound. You know, you can't mm-hmm. change up, the people won't accept it. So, mm-hmm. you know, that plays a part in it. Another part is you know, opposite opinion. Within the group, I think that anything that comes when it starts to become forced, like Norma said, where you're creating because you know you have to and you want to keep up because they're not doing it this way, so we need to do it like what's selling nowadays. Mm-hmm. When you are so when it's so programmed to follow the follow the crowd instead of coming from within you. Chic stuff, I think, lasted so long because all of that was organically created. The mm-hmm. same with a lot of, like, Rapper's Delight. It was all organically created. It came out of, you know, it was honest.
Mm-hmm.
And some things, when they change, just to keep up with the crowd, because that's the sound everyone likes now and is buying, sometimes if that's not you, it's not truthful. And I think that our audiences, which I want to shout out to, by the way, and I'm humbled by the fact that you guys still love us.
Yeah.
I think that when it's not honest, The audience feels it.
They do. They absolutely.
People know automatically. Mm-hmm. They know, just like they know when you're anxious on stage, just like they can sense when you might be feeling a little under the weather, or when you're in like a really good mood and you're acting like you hit the lotto. You know, all of that is infectious, and they feel it. So honesty above anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you think about, I put my heart into this song, not, okay, I just wrote this song because that's what's selling. I don't really feel it. I think that shows through. So I think there's a lot of things that you try to find a compromise in that as well. When you're a top group and you want to change, but your company may want you to stay with what's known, tried and true. So you got to kind of find a little compromise in there where you can start to change over and you know, introduce it, or I won't say retrain, but just introduce another side to you.
Yeah. You know, I think you, to your... I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I was just going to...
Okay, go ahead.
No, it's not... Well, to Lucy's point, I'm currently reading My Life with Marvin, the book that was written
by his wife.
I was
just going to go there.
Jan, yeah? So is this my segue, Jan Gay? Because he actually was the person that had Marvin Gaye had those issues. What's Going On, which was a pivotal shift in his singing and reflected the times, sat on the shelf for a year before Berry Gordy would release it because he thought it was too political. And he didn't think that the public would want it, or Motown should do anything like that. But that happened to be one of their biggest selling recordings.
Wow. You know, that's amazing to me. You took the words, that's the example that I was just about to use. But I think I was get it in, you know. Wow.
Okay, sorry.
You beat me. Ladies first, queens first. Everybody, I hope you're enjoying this interview as much as I am. My special guests are Next Step, formerly the Queens of Chic. And if you have a question, the phone lines are lit up. If you have a question or you'd like to make a comment, all you have to do is just press 1 and I can bring you on board and you can say hi or make your comment and ask your question. Again, if you're listening online, the telephone number is 347-324-5727. Again, that's 347-324-5727. Okay, somebody wants to speak to you. Okay, so are you ready?
We're ready.
All right. Attention 5611, you're on the air with Next Step. Thank you for calling Juwan's for Life.
Hi there. Next Step is Sarah Dash.
Oh, Sarah.
How are you guys? Wonderful. Juwana, these girls turned my birthday party out.
Sarah,
I am still riding high from your performance, your graciousness, and your wonderful generosity and kindness.
You taught us well.
Oh, I'm telling you, it was like I couldn't believe. I said, look at them. They haven't lost a thing. Listen to those voices. And you came through those tracks. I was like, well, they don't really need no music, do they? Juwan, they made me feel so good. You guys made me feel so good. And when I found out that you were doing your radio interview tonight, I had to intrude. I'm just so sorry.
It's not an intrusion.
This is not an intrusion, honey. This is called love, 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 love.
Oh, you swept the stage. The music was just, I mean, your choice of songs for that afternoon was just amazing. And I thank you so much for coming back and giving music another try, because you have the magic that it's so magical what you're doing. And in listening to your knowledge and your wisdom as to where the music industry goes, I'm certain that people listening this evening have learned an awful lot from you. And they appreciate, I'm sure they appreciate, this wisdom coming from women.
Amen. Thank you. And we so appreciate it. And let me tell you something. I am just recovering.
I'm still recovering. It would just seem like, I appreciate it because the fans put you all together to do this wonderful moment, but to see that it was something magical happening, I said, they're going to be touring. You are going to be doing some wonderful things. And this time around, it's going to be things that you never had an opportunity to do on your own. So congratulations, and God bless you. I'm not going to get the lines tied up. And may God continue to bless you tremendously.
Don't forget, when you get a tour,
that I'll open for you, okay?
You better.
All right.
Open. Not open. Fabulous.
Okay. And we're the ones. So have a great evening and just keep on doing what you're doing. I love you all.
We love you back. Too, thank you so much.
Hey, bye-bye.
Bye. Wow. Jawanza.
Uh-huh.
Speak of queens, that is the queen, okay?
Absolutely.
She is so sweet. I love Sarah Dash.
Yes.
I met Sarah back in, it would be the mid to late 80s, and I used to go by her place. And see, I saw Sarah, the first time I saw her was on stage. I was at Ohio State, and they performed at a venue near Ohio State, and I went to that show, and I was blown away by LaBelle, period, and I had seen them on TV. But Sarah, there is something about her aura that I was captivated by her aura, her presence, and she just knew how to be, I say, seductive and sexy, but always a lady. Mm-hmm. And I was so drawn to her. And then to meet her later and she be this beautiful human being. So I'm really, even for her to come on and be so gracious and so kind. And she invited us to perform at her birthday celebration. And I'm so thankful and grateful to her. I hope that we will work together, because that would be awesome. It's time for women and sisterhood.
Yes,
so it's a special time right now, and I'm like so passionate and probably talking too much, but I totally agree with you.
It's beautiful for me as a man to hear the love that you queens have for each other, because you know we all know that there's the industry can be competitive, and you all sharing the love is a beautiful, beautiful thing. It's beautiful to hear.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think Norm expressed it well for all of us.
Yes.
Now, let's fast forward a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to fast forward a little bit because you all have a new song called Everybody Get On Up. I mean, you all came back. I've heard the song, and I'm going to play it for everybody. So if you're listening, don't go away, because I got a song you got to hear, okay? What prompted Everybody Get On Up, and what prompted the reunion? Because you all, even though you had worked on other people's projects over the years, what prompted you all to get back together and say, okay, we're going to come back, and we're coming back strong. We're coming back as Next Step. And let's talk about just the I love the name of the group, Next Step. Talk about that, just the title. And, it seems like it's self-explanatory, like the former Queens of Chic are taking the next step. But is that what it's all about, just this next chapter?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it's all about. We had threatened quote unquote, to get together for a long time. So we had this opportunity to just really come back as sisters and embrace each other, and found out that we really missed each other. We missed our energies. We missed singing together. We missed the way our voices blended. We missed home. And that experience with Chic was home for us, because that's where we all sort of honed our skills and developed this way of singing, and contributed to, we all contributed to the success of that group and those records and that stage performance. And we found out that we still wanted to be a part of that and put that together, you know, three women coming together, in my mind, or three queens coming together, is powerful. There's a lot of power there. So we're just beginning to explore that power. You know, we're beginning to write together and seek out producers to work with us, to help us tell our stories, because we're all at times at places in our lives where we have stories to share that can probably help somebody else.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, and Lucy should speak on Next Step, because she actually came up with the
name.
Lucy?
Yes, I'm here. I had to mute you for a moment because my family's home, and they're just all getting it, so I had to move. Otherwise, you'd hear a lot of noise. But, I think that, like Norma said and Alpha described, it's more of where do we go from here? You know, it's the next chapter in our lives. And we went through a couple of names, you know, what should we call ourselves that would signify where we are now as adults? Because we were children, and like Alpha said, we learned our craft, you know, by experience on the road, and we have a lot more to offer. So what's our next step? And it just kind of got born out of that itself. And there's more to us as, because we are women now, and not the young kids that we were, there is a lot of knowledge, you know, that we have collectively. Mm-hmm. And so our goal is not just to make another dance record. You know, our goal is to empower young women, empower people, empower artists, share our experiences with them. You know, we're available for lectures. We're available for, you know, little seminars where answer, question, answer kind of things. You know, we encourage that. We embrace that.
Yes.
Alpha has knowledge in education. You know, Norma has knowledge in management. I have knowledge in healthcare. All of these things will make you a better artist.
Yeah.
And we can share all of those things with other people. So I think that's what we're trying to say when we say next step.
Right.
And Get On Up is, you know, Get On Up is our nod to the past, but looking towards the future. And we got together with another sister of ours, Miss Kathy Sledge, who actually heard something that we were writing at the time and said, you know, I love that. I love this little ad-lib you have. And she took it and, you know, we said, go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And she came up with a brilliant song.
I think it's a great lyric and it's a great song.
And we also at this moment I would like to really thank Max Martyr and Shanti, who are our producers. They're Arista Freaks and they're out of Ibiza. Max is also a co-owner of the label Pacific Electronic Music, PEM. He's co-owner with Jerry Greenberg, and then we have Joe Vasconcellos. I always say his last name wrong.
No, that's it.
I got it right, Joe. We want to just thank them for the opportunity that we're on a label that's supportive and that we have this ability to be out here again and to do what we do. And in addition to, as Lucy mentioned, we're not just singing. We're mentors.
Yeah.
And that's very fulfilling. It's very fulfilling to be able to have this opportunity.
And to spread this message of love and of goddess love, love for the sisterhood, love for humanity, because we are nurturers. By nature, women are nurturers, and I've definitely was inspired also by some lyrics that the late, great Nick Ashwood wrote with Valerie Simpson. She has a song out called Dinosaurs, and it's like, because we're considered, quote-unquote, dinosaurs, and the song is like, dinosaurs are coming back again. And one of the lines is, and it's so powerful, existence is a state of mind inside your body. There is no time.
Come on now.
You know, so it's these types of messages. We cannot buy into the messages of the larger society because sometimes they will not serve our higher good. Most times they don't serve our higher good. So, yeah, goddesses never age. You're going to get older, but you don't have to age. You know, and getting older is powerful. I
Absolutely.
Want to get older.
Embrace it.
Embrace
Hallelujah.
It. Absolutely, because the baby that was born yesterday is older today than he or she was yesterday. So what are we talking about here? You know?
Yes, I am.
And I will get off my
head. Can I just sit at y'all's feet for
a minute?
This is awesome. This is absolutely an awesome, awesome interview. How do you even just, you talked about dinosaurs and, you know, coming back, and you all have, I mean, just looking at you, you're doing something right. You know, you're still beautiful. You're still out there. You got to have energy to do tour dates and so forth. How do you do it? I mean, is there a particular regimen that you follow? I mean, a particular lifestyle or the role of God and spirituality play in your life?
Well, yeah, it's definitely
God,
holistic.
Yeah,
holistic. It's definitely holistic. It's like understanding that it's mind, body, spirit, community. That's the connection for me, and I think for all of us, because we have these conversations all the time, that if you don't take care of and nurture your mind, your body, and your spirit, then you have nothing to give to the community, much less to yourself. So we all have little things that we do in those areas, mind, body, spirit. So, you know, and I encourage and ask everyone to think of what is it in our listening audience, what is it that you do to nurture your mind, your body, and your spirit and your community?
Mm-hmm.
Because that's where it is for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
this was Alpha?
Yes.
Yeah, and I agree with Alpha. This is Norma Jean.
This is
Jean.
Lucy?
Norma Jean. Can you hear me? I said, hello?
Yeah, we can hear you, Norma.
Okay. I will say that regarding my diet, I stopped eating red meat like over 35 years or so ago. And I know that it really did help my digestive system, basically. It did that for me. And I'm also, like, as far as on a spiritual plane, I am a believer. I believe in God, okay? And grew up, and like I said, my parents had me in church. And, you know, we grew up, I believe in Jesus. I'll just put it out there. And, but I remember we had an interview, and Alpha, you said religious, not religious-based, but spiritually-based.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've always been a believer in there's somebody bigger than you or I.
That's right.
Yeah.
That is.
And taking the time, one of the things women don't do often enough, we don't self-nurture. We take care of everybody else but ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been programmed to do that. You know, but you have to take care of yourself. You know, it's so very important. So, you know, I too have a certain eating regimen that I follow. I eat organic foods. I do exercise. I do meditate, you know. And I'm not strict with any of it, I have to say. But though I know where to go. I know where to go to nurture myself. You know, I'm getting ready to go on. Well, you guys don't need to know my what I'm getting ready to do, but I often do things, you know, because I've gone through a lot of women. I've had a lot of very powerful women healers around me, and I've sought out healers, you know, mm-hmm. in the community. Queen of Fua is one that I've gone to. You know, I've gone through the Sacred Woman course. I've been doing these things for quite some time. I've taken yoga, you know, and I think all of us have done these things from time to time. And let me tell you, I'm a testament. We all are testament to the fact that those things work.
Yes.
Yeah, they
take
do.
Care mm-hmm. of our bodies. Go ahead, Lucy.
No, I was just agreeing with you. Mm-hmm. You know, I I'll be the first to admit it. Listen, I will eat whatever tastes good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some things I'll avoid, but for most part, I love food. I love to eat. However, there has to be some kind of balance. And for me, it's in my spirituality. It's in waking up each morning knowing that I'm covered.
There you go.
And it's in acknowledging and giving myself an affirmation to listen to myself. Because your body tells you everything you need to know if you listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to keep in tune with what my body is telling. When it says, okay, that's enough, then I have to listen to it. When I start to get just a little down or might think that things aren't working out the way I would want them to, I remind myself that they're working out the way they're supposed to. So I like to say I spend more time worrying about, but I don't worry while I'm not worrying at all, because that's just, you know, that's just how it is. For me, it's just a matter of I'm going to be taken care of until it's time when I'm not going to be able to take care anymore. But I don't, you know, I'm not laying in it. So I'm just going along and no regrets, loving life without regret.
Mm-hmm.
And staying stress free as much as possible.
Yeah.
I'm always.
I'm
a worry mom.
Oh, okay. Spiritual content, I love it. I am sitting up here. I mean, this is my kind of show. I love it. Again, Queen of Fools has been a guest on this show many, many times.
Hotep Queen.
Yep. They say our way is dead. They say our way is no more. But
you know it. All right. Yeah. Don't get me started. Right. I will be on my soapbox.
Got it. I just want that everybody know that if this time, if you have a question and you want to say hi or just make a comment, all you have to do is just press 1, and I can bring you on board. My special guest today are the former Queens of Chic. Now they're known as Next Step. And as you can tell, there's some substance behind the beauty. There's some substance to these queens. And I'm in another world, because, again, I used to look at the album covers like everybody else and sit and just listen to the music. And if we weren't dancing, the slow songs were, just mesmerizing, out of this world. By the way, any slow songs in the works? I mean, because again, you all's voices blend so beautifully. Again, people today still remember, you know, again, the songs that we mentioned, you know, Falling in Love and At Last I Am Free. When you hear this song, Will You Cry, Warm Summer Night, you know, any other slow songs in the works? Because if not, if you haven't considered it, please, can you give us some more?
Yes, Jawanza, I'm right there with you, honey, because we're working on, we've already recorded 4 original new tracks, and we're recording 3 more, and I definitely said to them we should do a ballad. Now, I got a little resistance, Jawanza, but now that we have you in the mix here, and some fans will say, well, hey, we want a ballad. But yeah, I thought we should do a ballad. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm for that.
again.
Least one.
Just least one. Just one more.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Understood. You know that.
Because after we get tired of dancing on the dance floor to everybody get up or get on up, we're going to need to sit down and put on that slow song and, you know what I mean? We're still gazing in each other's eyes, so, you know.
Right. Some people might get up, some of the kids might get up and say, hey, you dance with each other again, because they're too busy texting or doing some. Maybe they'll get up and say, hey, you want to dance with me? like folks used to do, right?
Yeah.
You know, I am so honored to have you all, and I know we've gone over the time, and I have to keep that in mind, because I'll sit here and it'll be 10 o'clock and I'll still be talking, you know, because I'm just loving this information. So again, I want to thank you all again. If any parting words, first I want to just let everybody know again, don't go away, because I'm going to play this song for you to give you just, and this is going to take you back, and it's going to bring you up to date, and then it's going to take you off into the future. I had no idea that when we scheduled this interview that it was going to be as powerful and moving and special as it is. But for our listeners, again, we've covered a lot. Any parting words, or do you have time? Lucy, are you good, or, you know,
I'm going to have to sign off, so I'm... You know, you guys, by all means, there's so much more information that we could give you, and please keep talking. But I do have
parting
to sign
words.
Off. I have another commitment. And, yeah, I do. I just want to thank everyone listening. I want to thank you, first of all, Jawanda, for having us on. And mostly I want to thank the fans, because we're talking about a long time that you guys hung with us, and I really am humbled by that. I appreciate it. I love you guys. Please continue to support us. And, you know, anything you get from us is going to be out of love. So we appreciate you. And you guys, Norma Alpha, I will talk
babe.
To you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Take care.
Thank you, Lucy.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye.
You want to? Yes.
I wanted to mention for our fans or anyone that's interested in getting more information and being updated on what we're doing, they can go to nextstepmusic.us, which is our website, and our Facebook page is Official Next Step Music.
Could you give the website again?
The website is nextstepmusic.us.
Okay. Wonderful. Any parting words from you?
From the Alpha, yes. I just want to thank you, as Lucy said, and to thank our label for believing us in us, and to thank the communities that helped keep me rooted and strong in this life, my spiritual community, my artist community, my family community, my holistic healthcare practice. All of these communities help me be who I am today, and I recognize that, and I say thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you. Norma Jean?
Yes, I would like to just say I give you all love, and I have received the love from so many of you for so many years, and I am just honored and so grateful. And hey, we're starting again, and we hope to please you, and that we can continue to exchange love.
Wow. Any tours? You all got any tours that you want to promote? Got anything coming up that you want the listeners, fans to be aware of? Any cities you're coming to, or how they can get to see the new song?
Well, the record company is working on putting a tour together for us, but if anyone's in New York on the 18th of September, we'll be performing with Jason King and Company Freak at the American, is the American Theater? Harlem Stage. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. That's Harlem Stage on the 18th, where we'll be performing with Jason King and Company Freak. We'll be doing some of the familiar songs that we did with Chic, and we will probably be debuting a song that we sang background on for Company Freak. So you can check our website for that, or our Facebook page, and that will be up, and any other dates that we have in the future will be posted.
Because there's definitely a tour in the works. We just don't have definitive cities and exact dates and all of that, but coming, we're coming at you soon.
Patient, I'm extending an open invitation whenever you all want to come back. I mean, we can talk about music, we can talk about spirituality, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. You've got an open invitation to come back and be a guest on the show. This is just one of those shows, and I want to invite all of the listeners to know that there's an archive. These shows are archived. So if you know somebody that is a Chic fan or Next Step fan, and they know and they remember Norma Jean, Alpha, and Lucy, then, you know, you let them know that, hey, they haven't gone away. They're back. And they can go back and listen to this show in the archives. So it's still here. We're going to hold on to this show to make sure that everybody has an opportunity to go back and check it out. And I just want everybody to get ready, because right about now, I want you to get ready to put your dancing shoes on, because I'm about to play a song called Everybody Get On Up. Now, I want you to listen from the first note to the last, okay? And both of you, and to Lucy in her absence, I just want to say thank you so much for being my special guest today. This show, I thought that it was going to be special, but this show has exceeded my expectations. I had no idea of the depth of you three queens, and it is truly an honor to have had the opportunity to speak to people that I have admired for so much. I want to say thank you to Queen Sarah Dash again for everything, you know, for just being there and for all of her years of, you know, in the industry and, you know, never embarrassing us. And, you know, I know she's still online. And so I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. So everybody, get ready. Now,
get on up.
Take care, everybody.
Big hugs.
Thank you.
Everybody, that is Next Step, okay? I had no idea of the depth of these sisters. These queens are absolutely awesome. They are back. And now, without further ado, get ready. My name is Jawanz. I want to say thank you so much again. Remember, listen, from the first note to the last, I appreciate your time. You could have been doing anything else, but you chose to spend it with us. Thank you so much. I love you too. Peace and blessings. Get on it.